Here's my concern about Jadeveon Clowney. I, like most people in Houston, assume that Clowney's going to get the franchise tag this year. My worry is this. If Clowney does not sign a long-term deal right now, why should I believe that he will in a year? I will explain that. So right now, if the Texans were to come to Clowney and try to work out a long-term deal, usually the fact that you can franchise tag him works in the team's favor because they build these contracts based off of the franchise tag. So I'll explain it simply. They'll take, all right, franchise tag year number one is this much money. Franchise tag year two is this much money. Let's add those numbers, work on the third year. And so you have some, like, basis on which you're negotiating the money on that. I think given the fact that they have the power over Clowney with the franchise tag, I think they could convince him this year, this offseason, to sign a deal that is less than Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald this year. But my fear is this. Let's say they do that and Clowney in 2019 has basically the same kind of season that he had this past year, where it's like, you know, 8 to 11 sacks, really good against the run, the same kind of general season. I think next offseason, it would be then a year and a half and two full offseasons away from those two guys signing their contracts. And at that point, next offseason, under this hypothetical, I think Clowney would demand being the highest paid defensive player in the NFL.
Okay. I don't see an issue with that. I honestly, for the life of me, I've never understood the amount of concern on both sides about the franchise tag. Like, people act like, oh my gosh, what are you gonna do? You're gonna pay somebody guaranteed $15 million a year instead of a long-term contract that would have averaged about $15 million a year? Like, yeah, go for it. Like, and if I'm Clowney, the best thing possible for him is to be a free agent, obviously. That's where your best value is. That's how Ndamukong Suh ended up getting the contract he did, because he was a free agent out on the market. That's how Mario Williams got the contract he did. The best thing for Clowney would be that. But at the same time, if you get, what is the figure for defensive ends this year? Is it 17 million?
It sounds right.
So if it's 17 million guaranteed with the opportunity to be a free agent again, the biggest question for the player is if you get injured, especially if it's a big injury like an ACL. Right, that hurts you. It's going to hurt you, not as much as it used to, but with Clowney's injury history, it might hurt
a
lot.
It's a big check against, right, on a list of checks where you already have against Clowney.
So the question for the Texans becomes, all right, look, honestly, if the Texans franchised him and he signed it and played for a year, I'd feel great about that. I'd feel awesome about that. Because then what do you – you're in that same position next year where you just wonder, okay – are we willing to pay him as much because we just got a great year of production out of him? I'm all for signing players. Like the Kirk Cousins contract, sign me up for that. 3 years guaranteed? Hell yeah, because then I'm renting a player for 3 years. If it doesn't work out, he's gone.
Is Clowney down to play on the franchise tag, I guess, would be the question. Would he end up pulling a Le'Veon Bell kind of move where he just doesn't actually show up? Because if that's the case, then that's where it could backfire.
It's Le'Veon Bell, I think, is about to find out that financially it was a really poor decision for him to make. Le'Veon Bell, for running backs especially, he had an ideological argument for why he did what he did, which is fine. If he just feels like running backs are get screwed over, that's great. But he's not going to be the one that reaps the benefits of that. His contract, I would be surprised if it's anywhere close to what he was thinking he was going to get, especially when you factor in lost wages from this last year. It's exceedingly rare. The last player to actually sit out the entire year before this, or to hold out, was it? It wasn't Haynesworth. It was Sean Gilbert. It was Sean Gilbert, I think. It has been done. Sean Gilbert, defensive tackle for the Redskins.
For two first round picks.
Yeah, who's a really bright guy. Yeah. And knew exactly what he was doing. I don't know if Clowney would want to do that or if he would, but I wouldn't put it past him because he's wired a little bit different.
Okay.
But if you do that, if he doesn't sign the franchise tag and he doesn't play, then okay, then you don't have him for a year and you still have the rights to him.
Okay, so Paul asked the question, would Clowney play under the franchise tag and just kind of play nice? I think he would play under the franchise tag.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you asked if he would sit out.
Well, you did ask if he would sit out.
Same question, essentially, right?
Yeah. Basically. I think what would happen is kind of similar to this past off season. I think he would probably miss mini camp, miss OTAs. In this situation, this year, since they wouldn't be giving him a long-term contract, I think he would miss almost all of training camp.
Yeah, I think he'd show up like with a couple weeks to go, which is, I mean, it's pretty much what he did. We saw him out at training camp this year, and there are no more two-a-days in training camp anymore. There's one practice a day with like a glorified walkthrough in the afternoon. He wasn't out there much when we could observe him. So.
Yes.
I don't think that's going to hurt his production, and I don't think you have to worry about him not being good if he only gets the last couple weeks of camp in. So am I missing something? Like, am I too cavalier about this? I really don't see what the big deal is. I think teams are starting to get more aggressive using the franchise tag. And I think players are starting to realize, like, hey, it worked out for Kirk Cousins just to play it out. Look.
My thing is this. If they give Clowney the franchise tag, do we believe that they will ever sign him to a long-term deal? Because I'm having a hard time envisioning that to be the case.
Right.
I'm having a hard time just seeing them sign him to a long-term deal, period. I can't really see past the franchise tag season. I feel they would possibly explore trade options, too, if they were to give him a franchise tag, just given some of the things I've heard about just their gut feeling on him, which don't make sense to me.
I don't understand, though, too. And again, this goes back to, like, okay, is Brandon Brooks not their type of guy? I don't, you know what my type of guy is? Guys that play good football.
Good football. Look, he's a disruptor against the run. And while he's not a traditional 17 sack a year kind of pass rusher that you're hoping to get when you're paying tons of money, maybe $100 million for someone like that, I mean, you lose him, you're worse.
Right.
And you're not replacing him.
Well, and I think the important thing to note with Clowney is this, like, he wasn't some one-year wonder that all of a sudden had a good season right before his free agency deal. And going back to even his rookie year and his second year, he's always been a guy that'll make plays like 30 yards downfield because he's hustling after the play. You watch some of the highlight reels and watch and see some notable defensive linemen who are jogging and lagging behind a play while Clowney is still running at a 4-5 pace and making plays downfield. Like, to say that Clowney is lazy or something like that is basically to admit that you've never actually watched Clowney play
football. It is lazy.
It really is, right. I got these, some guy in Dallas yesterday, some Dallas writer or TV person tweeted out, who'd you rather have, DeMarcus Lawrence or Jevion Clowney? DeMarcus Lawrence is a very good pass rusher from Dallas. You can make valid points for either of those, but the number of people from Dallas who are saying that DeMarcus Lawrence is good versus the run and Clowney isn't got me physically angry. I was irate over the fact that basically, if you say that Clowney isn't good versus the run, you're admitting to never having watched Clowney play football.
You're Stephen A. Smith.
He's one of the best run defenders in the league, and it's not even close, yes, really. He is an absolute destructive wrecking ball versus the run. So this concern that somehow Clowney's going to start mailing it in, I don't think he has it in him to mail it in. When he's on the football field, he busts his ass.
We're discussing the future of Jadeveon Clowney with the Texans and the franchise tag, the interplay of all that.
So yes, you asked the question, would they ever give him a long-term deal? I think he gets a long-term deal this year.
This year.
The hardest thing to do, though, is to establish what his value is because he's a very unique player. He's not a pure pass rusher. He's not a pure run stuffer. He's pretty good. He's really, really good at the run stuffing side. He's not as good a pass rusher as, like, a pure edge pass rusher.
Do you think he would have an issue with the Texans defining, though, what that value is? Because they would have to define what that value is, seeing as he's that unique of a player, Seth, they're going to tell him what he's worth. And is he going to take issue with what they tell him he's worth?
Well, yeah, of course, because it's a negotiation.
Right.
Like, no, he's going to tell them what he's worth. They're going to tell him what it's worth. And it's
and
a matter of,
be disappointed,
how, far,
though,
how far apart is it?
Isn't he going to be disappointed just by default, given that he is a unique player?
Yeah, but it's not like, but okay, let's say that the Chicago Bears had Khalil Mack on their own roster. They weren't going to open up with whichever offer they end up giving him. Now, do the Texans think that Clowney is worth anywhere close to what Khalil Mack got? I'm guessing no, simply based on pass rush production, consistent pass rush production, because that's what really gets you paid. This would be fascinating to watch, like an a Major League Baseball arbitration style hearing. Like, I would love to just have an arbitrator decide this. Come in and be like, well, look, guys who are really good versus the run have gotten this much. Guys who are really good as pass rushers have gotten this much. And then here's where you balance out. Yeah, my guess is it's somewhere below Khalil Mack. Do you think Clowney thinks he deserves Khalil Mack money?
Yes. I think by nature, don't all these guys?
Well, I mean, you do. But, like, as far as, like, what would his reasoning be for that?
I would just say
bigger, stronger. I mean, he's definitely those two things compared to Khalil Mack.
I think he would look at himself compared to Khalil Mack, and he would argue something like this. He would probably say, listen, forget about the run, forget about the pass. I make destructive plays behind the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the other team is doing is of no interest to me. I make big plays behind the line.
Whether it's a run or it's a pass.
Yes.
You know, is a sack that much better than a tackle for a loss, for a 4-yard loss? I mean, a sack is usually a little bit better at least because it's like 6, 7, 8, 9-yard loss.
And you're hitting the quarterback.
But you're still turning it into, that's a good point. But you're in terms of killing a drive, a tackle for a loss is almost as effective at killing a drive as a sack is. So, That's the argument right there. You're going to go heavily on tackles for a loss. Like let's look at all tackles for a loss combined compared to just sacks and what Khalil Mack has done elsewhere.
That's his best argument.